The last couple of years have been one for the books, to say the least. It is so exciting to get back to live audiences, whether it is a concert, sporting event, theater, etc. Whatever it is that you are looking for, I've got the perfect place for you. Megaseats.com. I know I'm not the only one who hates going to purchase tickets, seeing the ones you want, hitting that checkout button, and a price pops up and you're like, whose tickets are these? They cannot be mine. Well, with Megaseats.com, the price you see is the price you get. No, really. No hidden fees at checkout. Type in the code SSAWNETWORK in all caps at checkout and also receive a 10% discount. Your next live event is just a click away.
Welcome back to the recap show, the reaction episode from the Cover Zero podcast following week 14. The only time we have ever had buys this deep in the season is this weekend. And, well, nonetheless, here we are. And here I am with my guy, Josiah. Bro, I would ask how you're doing. I really would ask that question, as we do every Sunday.
Right.
But I already know.
Right.
I already know. And I'm not even going to fake front. Like, I'm not even going to do it. It sucks what happened to our Raiders. That's there's losing in the NFL. It's hard to win every week in the NFL. It is very hard. That's why we love this sport so much. It's the biggest team game. It's on the highest stage. It's the biggest talent discrepancy that you may find. And it's one thing to lose. It's another thing to be embarrassed. And that's what I was talking about before. Tonight, we're going to get into many things. We're going to get into a quick little recap of the Sunday night game that was a little bit more entertaining than expected. We're going to get into our ICUs. We're going to get into our what's going ons. And then we're going to preview the Monday night game. So where I'm going to start right now, just because this is what I brought up, but I want to get this out of the way because I know this will take longer.
Hello, Cover Zero. This is the NFL Exec Office. How can I help you today?
What is going on?
Oh, man. You go first. I'll let you go first. Okay. I'll let you go first on the what's going on. I'll go after you.
As I said when we started this off, it's one thing to lose. It's another thing to get embarrassed. And today we got embarrassed. This squad, the Oakland Raiders.
What is going on?
Because the team that resides in Las Vegas didn't show up today, and they had their Raider logo on their helmet, so I'm going to call them the Oakland Raiders for now, lost 48-9. The largest margin of victory that the Kansas City Chiefs have ever put up against the Raiders, no matter if they resided in L.A., Las Vegas, or Oakland. I don't know. From the first play of the game, Josh Jacobs fumbled the ball. The Chiefs recovered it. Scoop and score. Here we go. It's 7-0. After that, the Raiders got the ball back. Offensive line woes started from the beginning of the game, and they never, ever seemed to reside to any point to where we were ever able to have any sort of semblance to play this game. Chris Jones, no matter where he lined up, he went against Brandon Parker. He went against Alex Leatherwood. He went against John Simpson. He went against Andre James. Frank Clark went against either one of those dudes. It didn't matter. I swear, Justin Houston might have got a sack today. I mean, Derek Brooks. It didn't matter who was out there for the Chiefs today.
They could have put a fan out there. They could have put a fan. Never had no football experience, and he would have got a sack.
Gunther Cunningham got a sack today. As old as he is. Yeah, it was just, I have not seen a squad so ill-prepared to play a football game in a long time. There's been times where this Raider team has fought and has shown life, especially over the course of these last couple of years. where they may have not been able to make that playoff hump and be able to be a representative in the postseason. But it has been a very long time in which I have seen them be just a joke on a Sunday. And this is where it was. Like, that's where I would start it. If there's any other thing that you could have to shed on this, lightness or dark, what is it? What is your... You said it at a point, I'll leave it just with this. You said it at a point today in the group chat that we have for the podcast. All I can do is laugh at this point. What were you experiencing before you said that, and what were your thoughts after that?
I mean, it just, because you look at the game, like you said, as fans, you look at what's going on in the product they put on the field, and you just think to yourself, like, why am I this invested? Like, why am I even this invested into a team that don't give a fuck? You know what I'm saying? That don't care about winning or even competing. So you just, you know, it made me think, you know, and it made me laugh. Like, this team, you know, because you hear, and I would mention this to you, you hear players say, like, for example, I know KJ Wright, and he said he was really embarrassed. You know, they all should be embarrassed, but I know he actually came out and said that. But
he also would. He's a dog.
Yeah, you know, he came out and he said, you know, we had a great week of practice, probably the best week we've had in practice. I mean, he said it, and I think somebody else said that. And this was before the game. This was like during the week, you know, like a Thursday or something like that. You know, so you hear the players talk like this, and then they come out on the field and just forget how to play football. You know, so, and then the whole field goal with Rich DiSaccia sending his kicker out with seconds to go in the first half, knowing we're down, what was it, 35-0 or 30-0, whatever it was.
Yeah, 35-0.
Yeah, to nothing.
What does a three-pointer do for you?
He decides to send his kicker out to kick a field goal. I mean, at that point, that's when I put, you know, all I can do is laugh. Like, you, I mean, because.
I think that was when you sent the text.
Yeah. You know, I mean, because this is, you know, I can't even really, you know, I was so pissed off about it, you know, because, again, you expect this team to be prepared. I get it. They went through a lot. The John Gruden situation, the Ruggs situation. I get it. But you still got a job to do. You still got to go out and play football. You're still in the thick of things. You're still in the playoff race. Had they won, they were right there behind Indianapolis today, you know, in the race. You know, I think, eighth or wherever they was at, they were right there. So had they won.
It's a two-game margin at most.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got four or five left. Well, this week, when you went into – when before they kicked off.
Right.
Not before they showed up, before they kicked off. Right. What I'm saying, you know what I mean? Because they never showed up. Exactly. But when they kicked off, two game.
Yeah. And they just, you know, so it's just crazy how they know that, and they so-called had a great practice and all of this, and then they go on the field and put that product out. I mean, everybody needs to be fired. Everybody needs to be let go. This whole organization basically need, you know, a restart, a reboot, which is what's going to happen. You know, everybody, you know, I was listening to Charles Woodson. He said this before the game. Before the game, he said, you know, everybody's on notice. Derek Carr's on notice. The head coach and the staff, they're on notice. You know, and he said somebody else, or Mike Mayock, the GM, he's on notice. They come out and they get blown out. You know, it's going to be ugly. And that's exactly what happened. You know, I mean, they went out there and they got blown out. Nobody played well. The offensive line was poor. I think Carr got pressured, I think, like 12 times. That's the most or second most or the most he's ever been pressured in the first half or something like that.
Offensive line was
trash, you know, and they've been struggling. I mean, they've been inconsistent all year. They've had their games, but then they've looked real bad. When they've looked bad, they've looked real bad. Derek Carr didn't look good. You know, a lot of underneath throws, like he wasn't really, you know, like if he's not down, if they're not down 35, he's just patting his stats. Hunter Renfrow actually played well. He did have his fumble.
That was the one I was going to ask you about. My God, my favorite Raider.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite Raider.
When you think of players coming back next year, the players I think of two players. Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow. Those are the two players I think of. As of right now, I don't think. I mean, I and
there's more.
Max, there's more. Max, You got some of the young Nate Hobbs. I mean, you got some people, but it's just
Merrick. There's a lot. Like, there's a I hear what you're saying in terms of like changes need to happen. I hear you there, and I know when you see things like this, it's frustrating.
Yeah. Well, what I mean by it is, it's just going off of what I seen today. A lot of these players are going to be back because this is a talented team. But just off of what I seen today.
For sure.
And Darren Waller didn't even play. But
right. Of course.
Just going off of today's game, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, Nate Hobbs, those are the players. Nobody else, you know, played well today. Everybody.
I'll give it to Diablo.
Oh, Diablo played well. Yeah, he played well.
Diablo played well.
Mike Kuntz. Kuntz had a
Kuntz was all right. I'll still give it to Crosby as like being, you know, like still like Crosby was still playing
but
the
his
run.
Penalties, man. He got the these
he you're right. Penalties, you're right. Man. He had that fucking offsides where it was just like where like the hard count got him and he was just like and he's so long and limber and just like so when he flinches, like his whole body just like oh shit. You can't miss it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, but no, man. I'm with you on like the. I'm with you on like. There's a lot of people who you know you got to call into question with what's happened over the course of these recent several games. And I want to ask you this question honestly about it, and because I just thought about this myself, not right now, but throughout the course of this evening. Mm-hmm. What's your grade on Gus on the season and going into next year? Because I would ask it this way. We have upgraded the personnel a lot this season. If you consider Casey Hayward, Trayvon Merrick, Nate Hobbs, Faison, all of those guys, all those different people you can plug in, and then KJ, and then Perriman, and then Ngakoue. So where are you, like is it Gus being able to make all of these guys function well, or is it like all of these guys are just a much more upgrade than what we had previously before? So do you let Gus go and bring in somebody else to use these guys, or do you keep Gus around and give him another year and another run with these guys and maybe some new draft picks?
Oh, everybody's the staff is gone. I'm not bringing nobody back on the staff.
More Gus.
Mm-mm. I Gus and well, I'll say this. This is what I really think. I think, you know, there's definitely going to be a new head coach. And when he comes in, he's going to bring his own staff. I don't see Gus coming back because once a head coach comes in, normally they bring in their own staff. Sometimes they'll keep guys and whatnot, but most times they bring in their own.
Most times, and Gus probably.
Their own coordinators. Yeah. Right.
You know especially because he's an older dude.
Yeah. So I don't see it. You're right. But if would I do it, I would have to think. I want to see the rest of these games because I will say this. If I had to give a grade, I probably would give them maybe like a C+, a B-, somewhere around there. Because although, you know, these games, it's just the Chiefs, really. If you really think about it. Now, don't get me wrong. Cowboys put up a lot of points, you know. But the defense is playing better, and I do think he has – I think it's part of the talent, but I also think he's also unlocking some of these players as well. Because Max, I mean.
Keep going.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, I think he's unlocking a couple of these players. I know for a fact he is because maybe not necessarily him, but his guys. I know Ron Miles has been a big get for us. He's really, really, really good with DBs. He's a really great DB coach, and that's what he is on Gus's staff, DB coach. And a lot of players talk, you know, how he's really helped them with their, you know, their mechanics and things like that. And he has a long history of really doing that for a lot of different great DBs out there. And then he's also one of the guys, him and Gus was also one of the, actually, I don't know if it was Gus. I think it was Ron and Mike Mayock, actually, but they scouted out Nate Hobbs. You know, and so I do think they play a part, but it's a little bit of both. The talent is also there as well, and that helps. So I think it goes hand in hand. I will say this, you know, say Paul Gunther was still back there calling plays and the defensive coordinator, I think the defense would be worse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's what I think, Gus.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, him, that's kind of why I ask it, like, All we wanted was a defensive coordinator to bring us to, like, you know, some semblance of mediocrity.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like he has brought us to there, maybe even better.
Right.
Like, you know, but I don't know if he's brought us to the point to where you can be like, his job is secure for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. So that's why I thought it was like, you know, a warranted question. For me, it's just, you know, I wonder if we've seen, I got to wait to watch the All-22. It wasn't as evident today on the broadcast view on whether or not he, like, took the blueprint to stop the Chiefs, or if it was just, you know, I mean, we fumbled the ball so many times. There were so many turnovers. There's nothing you can really honestly even, as I think about it here, there's nothing you can really even learn or take away from this game. This is one of those burn the tapes. Burn the tape. It doesn't, there's nothing to add on from this, right? The only L you can take from this type of thing is a lesson. And the lesson is just that, you know, wake the fuck up. So play the first track of Kanye West, the second album, Graduation.
Yeah, I mean, so that's my thing with it, man. That's my what's going on. This team is just, you know, they're just disappointing. Disappointing. It was, you know, a poor effort that they displayed on the field, you know. And it's just, you know, and I think the season is over. I don't think, I mean, mathematically they're still in it, but it's not even
we're not,
so
we're
much.
Not, bro. 2 weeks ago we did this and we put our Raiders in it.
Well, I mean, right. You know what I'm saying? But it's just, you know, and like you mentioned, since the 2 weeks, they haven't played well. You know, they haven't played well. I know, I get it. Last week we should have won that game. You know, but that's the way the NFL is. Some games, you know, some calls is just not going to go your way. So you got to go out and focus on the next game and get that one. And boy, was they not focused. They wasn't focused. They wasn't ready. You know, they just, you know, and again, going back to practicing well and all of that, there's no way that, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah, the season's over for sure, man. There ain't no way. I don't see them, you know, they may get Denver. You know,
we better get Denver.
Yeah, well, just the way they played today, it's almost like who can they beat now? You don't even think they probably can. They probably won't win another game. But
if it's funny you say that. Shout out to Greg Robinson. He said that as well. He said if this is what we're doing today, I don't know if we can win another game.
Yeah,
and I said to him, I was like, look, just beat Denver. Just beat Denver.
Right.
We'll be all right.
Yeah.
Beat Denver, beat Cleveland, lose to the Chargers, lose to the Colts.
That's pretty much, that's what we'll see. I mean, even the Browns, you know, I know Lamar, right. You know, he went out, but I mean, they still got it done. They got the job done. So we're going to be playing them. I think that's in Cleveland. Yeah, it's in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So that one's going to be a tough one too.
You know? That's next week, right?
Yeah, on Saturday.
Sure. We'll pivot now to recap a game that occurred on Sunday night. Packers over the Bears. I didn't expect this game to at least early on be as close as it was. Did you?
Same here. No, I definitely didn't. I thought, I mean, we talked about, we were mad that this was the Sunday night game.
We were. You know. Even with, we were talking about how it should have been flexed. It should have been flexed with the Tampa Bay and the Bills game. Right. And it wasn't, but at least Justin Fields ended up starting the night. But still, nonetheless, the Green Bay Packers were in command throughout the gross point of this game. Mm-hmm. This second quarter, though, I will give this game its props for the second quarter based on what we saw today. The morning slate today was so lopsided. A lot of the football today was lopsided. And
it was.
Towards the end, it ended up all kind of, you know, kind of gelling together. And we had some games that were very entertaining and, you know, made you want to tune in. But the second quarter of this game, like, that's crazy. We saw 45 points in the second quarter between these two teams. Just crazy. I mean, like, I love seeing it, just how they all occurred. Rasul Douglas on a pick, you know, and all this other stuff. Justin Fields was making it work. Jakeem Grant just like tiptoeing down the sideline. All these things. Like, I don't know what we can necessarily take away from it from like a perspective of what it means for the Packers going forward, what it means for the Bears. I think what it means for the Bears, if I were to take one point away from it, is that we continue to see Justin Fields.
Yeah.
We continue to see Justin Fields and not improve. Like, oh, like some people will be like, he didn't win, he didn't improve. That's the people who don't really watch the game. It was tonight an example of just Justin Fields being able to take, you know, certain things that were available to him and recognize that you don't have to win the game on every single play that he might have tried to recognize before or try to, you know, force at another point in time. And this Bears team, you know, there's Matt Nagy won't be there for it, for the rebuild, for the new move. And we saw our first start tonight from our guy. It didn't look good. But we saw our first start tonight from Tevin Jenkins. And then they moved into left tackle. And it didn't look good.
But that's okay. I thought he had a couple good you know, I mean, he wasn't that good, but I thought he did. He held up a couple times, a couple that ain't
sure. Oh yeah,
out of
yeah,
10, yeah. You know that yeah. Or 20, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. No, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing with left tackle. Like they got Larry Borum over there. Shout out to Michael Gibson. Yeah. You know, shout out to Eli Hyonen. They asked me to like look at his all 22, like as a fifth round pick. Chris Ransom as well. And yeah, like he's. All you want is just someone to be solid, but he was a first round pick that hasn't played all year, and you and me loved his tape coming out of OK State.
Yeah, we do.
And he was playing on the left side today, but you know, left tackle first game. What do you go to
right.
The Packers? You know, cold weather night. I mean, it's all right. We're good.
Right.
It's all right. Like there's always when you have a left tackle playing like that. It's so rare. Where you have more bad reps than you do good reps.
Right.
And he still had more bad reps. It's just that when the regular old ass good reps, like good job, those just don't become highlights.
Right.
And when you look like an ass and someone puts you on your face in the dirt, oh, that circles around Twitter and that's what people remember because they don't pay attention to the game like you and me do. So
Right.
Yeah. But either way, that's how I would classify it. I don't know what else we can take away from it. Davante Adams is dope.
Yeah.
When he hit Jalen Johnson when they had him in the red zone, like man up on man,
right
on the glance route, oh my, like come on,
yeah, like what are you gonna do? Jalen couldn't do nothing with it. And shout out to Jalen because he actually played, he did well the first quarter and most of the second quarter, but you know Devontae got hot. They started putting him in different formations, different situations, and he started to warm up. And then after that, it was all she wrote. I mean, he was, you know, he was beating Jalen. Just seemed like on every play, you know, he ended up with 120 or 150 some yards. You know, obviously a touchdown. You know, Jalen couldn't do nothing with him. But I mean, we all know Devontae is, you know, elite. He's definitely top two, if not the best wide receiver in the game.
Yeah.
You know, he's that guy for sure. I will say too, I do want to add with Tevin Jenkins though, we do gotta realize too, he's coming back, I believe, from a back surgery.
Yeah, but, right?
Back surgery.
Yep.
So that's kind of
out there in Chicago.
Yeah,
well, that's not Chicago. That's Green Bay, so it's even
colder. Right. You know what I mean? So going against Green Bay, playing because he's normally a right tackle, so playing on the left side. And then having to bend and whatnot with your back and all of that, yeah, that was you know coming off of surgery, that's a lot to ask for him to play like a super great game. But yeah, it wasn't good. But I still got faith that he's going to turn out to be pretty good.
I do too. I'm 100% that. We'll be talking about him as a nice find later on. That's a nice find later on for them. But. Speaking of our nice finds, we're going to move into our ICU section. The things that you found today throughout the course of the game or throughout the course of the slate that really caught your attention. I want to start with you, bro, because we talked about before this game started. It was almost like a therapy session, how we talked about what's going on. Mm-hmm. We needed to do that as Raider fans.
Right.
What we didn't talk about is who really made us, you know, receive that joy and made us give that respect and, you know, like pay the props to. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know who you're going to say. So without further ado, my brother.
What's up, player? I see you.
Who's your I see you, or at least your first one?
I got a couple. One is a team, you know, and the team is the 49ers, man.
What's up, player? I see you.
Just shout out to how well they've been playing. They've won their last five games, and they won them pretty impressively. It was close today. You know, today was a close game, but this is a playoff contender that they played, and they're doing a really good job. I mean, they're, you know, and they've had some health issues, you know, some health concerns, but their main core players are still out there, you know, and they're putting in the work. And this team is looking pretty legit, man. They're looking pretty good. They're looking pretty good. This was a team that I thought was going to go. I had them going to the NFC Championship game this year. And that still could happen. But the way they started off this season, it was like, man, okay, this was a miss. You know what I'm saying? This team ain't going nowhere. But they got better, and they're playing. They're winning the games that matter, and they're winning in a time when you really need to win. And so that's one of my ICUs, just the team in general. Shout out to them, how well they're playing. And then Matt LaFleur, you know what I'm saying? I know we kind of spoke on him, you know, I think it was last year we spoke on him. And, you know, we talked about his play calling, and we wasn't too sure as far as him being a head coach. You know, we wasn't sure how he was really going to turn out to be, but he just now tied Jim Harbaugh for the most wins in second most wins, 36, which is the second tied with Jim Harbaugh, the second most wins in three seasons. And so that's really good. That's really impressive, man. I know he got Aaron Rodgers. I get it, you know, but that's still pretty impressive to do for a coach that, you know, nobody was really, really high on, you know. And so shout out to him as well. Those are my two ICUs.
It's when you said the Niners, bro. That's. I almost laughed out loud because I have George Kittle.
My first one. I almost had George Kittle. I was going to add George Kittle, but I was like, let me just talk about the team in general. But yeah, that's a good one too.
It makes sense. That's why it's so perfect. And everybody listening, why Josiah and I have that type of reaction is because we don't. That might be something we do in the future, as far as like, you know, who's your ICU, who's your right. Blah, 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 blah. We clearly convened our what's going on because we needed to, you know, we needed to vent
right,
to,
right, right.
to somebody else who at least felt the same way we did,
right, right.
After that loss, but George Kittle today.
What's up, player? I see you.
13 grabs, 151 receiving yards.
Yeah.
And a touchdown. Last week in Seattle, in a loss, 9 grabs, 181, and 2 TDs. George Kittle, over the last 2 games, 22 grabs, 322 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Just crazy.
Bro, like, and then tonight's game. Like, the first part of his game that I want to, and this is just George Kittle in the way that he is. Like, he's not just a receiver threat, like somebody that's going to blow up your Yahoo app on a fantasy, you know, like on a fantasy tip. He's someone that's going to check all the boxes on a coach's film perspective. And that's what I've always loved about him. And that's what you love about him, too. That's what CJ loves about him. That's what Niner fans love about him. And I love seeing it again today because he was healthy and he was doing it for the second straight week. In a pivotal game. San Francisco, with 14 minutes and 19 seconds left in the second quarter, lines up in a 3-by-2. It's 2nd and 6. Debo goes in motion on a jet motion from left to right, with Kittle sitting at the sniffer formation in a tight bunch. Last episode, I detailed what a sniffer formation is. It's basically when you have a tight end lined up next to either the ass of a tackle or the ass of another tight end in the backfield, and it looks like he's sniffing his butt. So when they run this motion with Debo, because they know how much of a running threat Deebo is. Everyone reacts to it, and they flow to that side, right? And then Hasty takes the carry, and the defense can play it as exactly right as they want. But because George Kittle is so good at sealing the edge, it doesn't matter. Like, 12 yards is the minimum that they get, and they got exactly 12, and since he played it as well as you can play it. It's just so crazy to me how they do it. It's, I mean, 12-10 left in the second quarter, a 2nd-and-8. Kittle is attached. Deebo Samuel's lined up in the backfield. And then they pull Lincoln Tomlinson, their guard. They pull him from left to right. And then they move Kittle in the same direction. Now you have two pullers. What this allows the Niners to do is to release their play side guards up to the second level. And then because you have Kittle, who can block as good as 80% of the linemen in the NFL when he's right, that's a cheat code. That's a cheat code. And they did it. And they ran that play, and boom. That was the play where Deebo busted it off like a 36-yard or whatever it was, rushing touchdown out of the backfield. When you have a guy like this, that's just, that changes so much of what your capacity is as an offense, even if you have a quarterback that's someone of the caliber of Jimmy G. And I would be remiss to not talk about George Kittle if I wouldn't talk about the catch that he had in the fourth quarter to basically bring them into overtime, or to get them to win in overtime. It was 3rd-and-10, 12 seconds left. 20-20. Kittle ran this corner route, right, out of a 3-by-1 on the left side, and Von Bell undercuts it. And Jimmy G knows, he sees it, and it's good recognition to be able to recognize, like, oh, Von Bell, number 24, the DB for Bengals, undercuts the route. It's great recognition to be able to realize that you have to put it over his outstretched hand as he tries to make a play on the ball. But he puts it so far over his head that Kittle has to really, like, almost dunk on the ball to be able to make the catch. And it was just to see him climb the ladder and go ahead and grab the ball so high like he did, get his knee down. And then, you know, that was really where this dude made his mark on the game, in the run and in the pass. And I just love seeing a dude who is this good be able to continue to make marks on the game.
Yep.
And yeah, George Kittle
is at a high level. Whatever, if it's blocking, if it's, you know, route running, his catches, everything is just at a high level. His only thing is just staying healthy. That's it, bro. Because he is a dog. He is a dog.
He's something else.
Yeah.
Like, there was even a point, I think, where one of the announcers was like, oh, the Niners need a difference maker, somebody on third down they can go to. That's what Kyle Shanahan and them need to find, or something to that degree. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You got this dude, George Kittle, over there. And then literally, it's a 3rd-and-11, Jimmy G, a slant, safety blitz. Boom, Kittle in one-on-one coverage. Mm-hmm. Not even a hesitation. Yeah. The only other ICU that I have for this week, this is a first in terms of ICU criteria. This guy did not play today. However, today was a pivotal day for this man. Andrew Whitworth today.
What's up, player? I see you.
He plays for the Los Angeles Rams.
Right.
He's their left tackle. He's very good. He plays tomorrow against the Cardinals. However, he turned 40 years old today. Andrew Whitworth was born December 12, 1981. Tomorrow, when he takes the field, he will be the first left tackle in the history of the NFL to ever take a starting snap at the age of 40.
That's really impressive. Really impressive.
100%. And not to only say that he will be the first one to do that. Andrew Whitworth right now, according to PFF, according to ESPN, according to J-Rob's All-22 Eye Test Film Study, is bawling his fucking ass off.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy
has played doing it for a while too. That's the thing. He's been a baller.
been a baller. And has been doing this for a long time. Right now, Josiah, Andrew Whitworth, do you remember when he came out of college?
I don't.
2006, a second round pick out of LSU. I was not watching film on people coming out, even doing this, because I was like trying to understand what it meant to be a 20 to 21 year old man. And you are younger than me, bro. Yeah. You weren't even 20 years old yet.
I was in ninth grade.
You know, that's all we need to know right there.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a point in, they played the, so they don't play today as we record this. It's Sunday. They played the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. Lorente McCreary, number 55. He's a defensive end for the Jaguars. He went up to Andrew Whitworth on a dead ball after playing him for about three quarters. And he asked him, he was like, hey, man, how old are you? And Whitworth just said, I'm 39. And he didn't believe him. He did not believe him for so long. And he was like, all right, I'll meet you at the end of the game and tell me how old you are. He met him at the end of the game. And he told him again. And other people have been corroborating, you know, Andrew Whitworth being as old as he is. And then they talked to Sean McVay about it. They talked to other offensive linemen, Rob Havenstein, and all these other people that have played with him. And just what an anomaly it is to see a guy like him be able to be this old, to move at 40, and to have the miles on him that he does. Right. This man has played 235 out of 251 games possible since he came out of LSU in 2006. Four-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro. Tomorrow, he's going to make history. And I just, for that aspect alone, Andrew Whitworth. Before we exit out of here, we have to venture into the MyBookie Monday night preview. Los Angeles Rams favored by 2.5. Los Angeles Rams getting 2.5. The Cardinals are favored by 2.5. -135 odds for the Cardinals on the money line, +115 for the Rams with the over-under sitting at 51. Let me ask you it this way, Josiah. Do you have the Cardinals winning?
I'm going to say no. I say the Rams get this one.
Why?
They need it. They need it. They cannot lose this game. And, you know, I feel like there's more. Now, I mean, even if they lost, I still would have them making the playoffs. But it just would feel like they need it for their confidence. You know, they haven't really been that impressive over these last few weeks. You know, ever since they've added all the talent that they've added, nobody, for sure, none of that talent's looked impressive. And the team in general, they've been losing. You know, they got back on track last week. You know, going against, it was a sorry team too. Was it the Jaguars? I think it was the Jaguars.
Yeah, Rams. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and of course they should beat them. You know, but outside of that, they have not looked good at all. You know, so I feel like this game right here, they really really need this game, and I feel like they're gonna finally, you know, get some of these pieces to step up big time, and you know they're gonna come out with a win. If they don't win, then I think we would be feeling kind of confident. You know, it's still a few weeks left. Cardinals could lose, but I think we'll be feeling kind of confident that Cardinals is probably going to win this division. But if they could win, Rams that is, then I think it comes down to those two teams. The Niners are playing well. They're playing well, but I don't see them winning the division.
Sure.
I think it's still going to come down to the Rams and the Cardinals. I think the Rams get the they get their win. They even it today.
Okay. So as people listen, the Rams win on Monday night. What score are you looking at?
I'm going to say they got to score a lot. You know, so I'm going to say 30 to 27. 30 to 27 Rams.
30 to 27 Rams. Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. That would have you about 6 points above the over, according to my bookie. I want to say Rams. I really do. Because when I look at each roster, the Rams make more sense. But when I watch each team's game, the Cardinals make more sense.
Right.
And I, you know, and I'm, you know me, I'm always riding with the film. So I got to pick the Cards to this point. But this is an NFL season where that has shown not to be enough to be able to land a team in a win or an L. So this Rams team has not beat a team that had a winning record that was at least a meaningful W back dating back to when they played the Bucks in like week 4, which that seemed like that occurred before COVID. Like, I mean, if I was to make, you know, like right, COVID right. didn't exist when that happened.
Right. Right.
Seems but, so but either way, like, I mean, this Rams team, I was on, shout out to the Killer Crossover podcast. I was on their show and we were talking about this exact same thing. Big Matt was talking about like, hey, is this a disappointment if they don't beat the Cardinals, they don't beat the Packers, they don't beat the Niners when they got all of these people on their roster? And it really is. It really is a disappointment if you don't. And I haven't seen enough to at least make me say, look, I'm going to take this Cardinals team that's been able to make it work and able to get W's with a backup quarterback in Colt McCoy without DeAndre Hopkins and those other type of pieces within the cog of the machine. So I'm going to have to take the Cardinals right now. I really am. I'm going to have to take the Cardinals until this version of the Rams can be the version of the Rams that I expected based on what happened at the beginning of this season. And based on what happened with the acquisitions that they made throughout the middle of it, for me to be able to take them in the latter portion of it. So, yeah. Give me the Cardinals. Score-wise, 34-28 Cardinals.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where I'm at. We appreciate y'all listening. Very, very, very much so. This has been the Cover Zero Podcast on the SSA. W Network. What's up, guys? It's Jordan, and there's two things that I have to drink every day. And no, one of them is not craft beer, but that's water and coffee. Every morning I have to have a cup of coffee. This episode is brought to you by IMWiseCoffeeCompany.com. I tried the Caramel Trust, the Morning Equity, and the one thing that stands out most to me about both of them is the quality. Wake up in the morning, turn on a game, fire up some breakfast, and pour yourself a cup of I Am Wise coffee. Go to IAmWiseCoffeeCo.com, enter in the promo code COVERZERO, save yourself 10%, and the quality will be there, guaranteed.
That's our show. Be sure to email us with your questions, comments, and statements to coverzeropodcast@gmail.com. To find all of the links to follow us on social media and also to find more exclusive content, visit us at tssaw.com. See you next week.